joined by Mr. Daljeet Singh, Managing Director, and Mr. Sudhir Goyal, CFO, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded our updated result presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. So I'll just take you through the acquisition update. On May 2, 2019, Amber acquired 80% equity in Sidwal Refrigeration Industries Private Limited, which will include business of Sidwal Technologies for a cash-free, debt-free value of 202 crores, of which 146.5 crore was paid by Amber as cash consideration and balance was taken on Sidwal's book. Sidwal is a leading player in the mobile air conditioning and refrigeration industry, providing diversified HVAC solutions to Indian Railways, metros, defense, telecom, bus, and commercial refrigeration segment. This acquisition will give us entry into high entry barrier customers with long approval cycles like Indian Railways, metro, and defense. Also, Sidwal's strong technical background will help Amber to cross-sell and provide more comprehensive solutions to our current set of customers. Despite the RAC industry not doing well on FY19 due to unseasonal rains in H1 of FY19 and inventory pile-up across channels, we were confident on achieving our yearly targets as guided. Our air conditioner volumes grew by 43% for Q4 FY19 as anticipated and guided for the full year. We were able to sell 9.62 lakhs units for Q4 FY19 as compared to 6.72 lakhs in Q4 FY19. Our FY19 volumes are total 2.12 million units, which is higher by 11% as compared to FY18, outperforming the industry growth. During FY19, Amber has added new customers and new energy efficient models, which will enhance our revenues and margins going forward. We are seeing increased demand in room air conditioners from a small and large players across segments, brands, and other factors like custom duty hike, logistical hassles of imports, and changing dynamic conditions of room air conditioner market, and hence we are confident of outperforming the industry growth going forward also. I would also like to highlight that not only our RAC division, but our AC components and non-AC components division are gaining momentum, and our penetration level with customers is increasing. We have seen strong growth in our AC and non-AC components in the last financial year due to our acquisitions in Elgin and Ever Electronics. AC and non-AC components now comprise of 37% of our total revenue of FY19 on consolidated basis. I'll now take you through the financial numbers. Let me take you through the standalone highlights first. So Amber standalone, the total revenue of Q4 FY19 stood at 971 crores, up by 40% as against rupees 692 crores for the corresponding quarter last year. The revenue from AC grew by 43% from 568 crores in Q4 FY18 to rupees 810 crores in Q4 FY19. Revenue from components grew from 124 crores to rupees 161 crores in Q4 FY19, a growth of 30% year-on-year basis. Total revenue for FY19 grew by 14% to 2,188 crores, of which AC revenue comprises of 1,740 crores as against 1,540 crores year-on-year, and components revenue is rupees 448 crores as against 383 YOY basis. Despite of the industry headwinds and slowdown, we were able to deliver a growth of 14% in revenue, outperforming the industry growth on consistent basis. Our operating EBITDA for Q4 FY19 stood at 98 crores with an EBITDA margin of 10.1% as compared to 68 crores in Q4 FY18. EBITDA margins for Q4 FY19 expanded by almost 30 bips. With higher margins of Q4 19 and increased prices passed on to the customers, we were able to deliver better margins. Operating EBITDA for FY19 stands at 188 crores as a growth of 10% as compared to FY18. We had a one-off expense write-off in Q4 FY19 on account of investment written off for our fully owned subsidiary AppServe Appliances Private Limited to a tune of 1.7 crores. We have discontinued these operations of AppServe, and hence this was written off fully in Q4 FY19. PAT for Q4 FY19 stood at rupees 61.6 crores as compared to 33.8 crores of Q4 for FY19, a growth of 82% year-on-year basis. PAT margins for Q4 FY19 stood at 6.3% as compared to 4.9% for Q4 FY19, as an increase of 145 bps. FY19 PAT stood at 92.5 crore as compared to rupees 62 crores for FY19, a growth of 49% with margin expansion of almost 100 bps. Our net debt as on 31st March for standalone entity stands at rupees 120 crores. Our working capital days for FY19 is around 66 days. Moving on to the consolidated results, our revenue for FY19 grew by 29% from 2,120 crores to rupees 2,752 crores. Growth from Ilgin and Ever has been significantly up as compared to last year, with better margins in those two subsidiaries. Our AC and non-AC revenues now comprise of 37% of our total revenues as compared to 28% of FY18. Revenue for Ilgin for FY19 is rupees 335 crore as compared to 334 crores in FY18. Ever grew by 21%, taking the total revenue to 272 crores. Only 6 months revenue of Ever has been consolidated since Ever became our subsidiary in H2 FY19. However, full year consolidation will happen from coming year. PICL degrew by 4%, taking the revenues from 143 crores in FY18 to rupees 137 crores in FY19. Operating EBITDA for FY19 on consolidated basis stood at rupees 213 crores as compared to 183 crores in FY18, a growth of 16%. EBITDA margins stood at 7.7% for FY19, down from 8.6% because of Ilgin and Ever operating at an EBITDA margin of 5% and 2.2% respectively. However, we are optimistic of increasing the margins in both these companies for FY20 by close to 50 to 100 bps, which will have higher EBITDA margins on consolidated basis going forward. EBITDA margins for PICL stood at 5.4%. PAT for FY19 stood at 95 crores as compared to 62 crores in FY18, a growth of 52%. PAT margins on consolidated basis stood at 3.4% as compared to 2.9% for FY19, an increase of 50 bps. PAT margins for Ilgin is in the range of 1.72%, Ever is 1%, and PICL is -1%. Integration of Ilgin Electronics and Ever Electronics was successfully done in last year, and we will be able to deliver higher growth for next financial year through addition of new customers in these subsidiaries. We expect margins to expand in these subsidiaries due to operating leverage playing out and various cost control measures adopted in the previous financial year, fruits of which will be seen in FY20. Also, Sidwal acquisition will help us foray into new product segment of heating, ventilation, air conditioning industry like railways, metros and defense, with immense business opportunity to cater and capitalize on the growth going forward. With this, I open the floor for discussion.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Aditya Bhartia from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Morning.
So just wanted to understand why was there such a big disconnect between our performance and the performance of broader room AC sector, and what is it that led to strong growth for Amber in Q4? A related question is that has there been a case that companies were anticipating a strong summer and therefore placed orders on Amber? And given that that hasn't panned out in Q1, we may start to see Amber's growth slowing down as well.
Actually, the main reason why we did outperform industry to such a large extent is that we've added customers. We've added Havells, we added Carrier Midea, we added Flipkart, we added Amazon in our kitty, which all, these all customers primarily started business in Q4. And moving forward, you know, you would see that since these customers have just come in the Q4 or late Q3, there will be a complete, you know, reflection on the yearly basis in moving FY20. So this was largely because of customer addition and also due to our new indoor model lineup, which we launched in Q3, late Q3 in December, which has given these robust results. And going forward, we continue to focus on our R&D. And as I told you, that these customers will have a year on business now in this FY20. Mm-hmm. So definitely on Q1 basis, you would see that there will be a substantial jump. Just to tell you, in April and May, this Q1 is a very robust quarter for us. We are anticipating a complete, growth of almost about 25% to 30% in Q1. April, we've already demonstrated 50%+ in volume terms.
Okay, understood, sir. And of the existing customers, do we continue to garner higher wallet share? And if you could also give the split between indoor units, outdoor units, and window ACs for the year and the quarter.
Yeah, so total out of 2.1 million numbers, almost 3.5 lakh units were window air conditioners. And close to 1 million units, we have indoor units, and remaining is the outdoor units. As far as our wallet share concerns in the customers, we have added wallet share in primarily all the customers because our product offering has expanded, and we haven't lost any wallet share with any customers in quarter four.
And so my last question is on working capital, wherein receivable days appear to have risen quite sharply. What has that been on account of, and do we expect that to be normalizing going forward?
Well, you see, 45% of the revenue, which is close to about 900 odd crores, has come in Q4. Mm. And the new customers which were added have a credit days in the range of close to about 60 to 90 days terms. And if you say we've done a turnover of close to 380 odd crores in the month of March and close to similar times in the month of February, so almost 700 odd crores were pending to be paid by the customers in the months, and that's the reason why this has been elongated. As moving forward, it will depend on the kind of customers' business, because largely the customers which have been added, as I told you, are in the range of close to about 60 to 90 days terms.
Hmm.
And on a quarterly basis, if you see, this number would look like in the tune of 55 days on the debtor side.
Understood. So as far as days are concerned, those possibly haven't risen. It's just that bulk of our sales were centered around fourth quarter, and within that, February and March this year. And to that extent,
right,
the year end number looks much higher.
That's right, yeah. Because it's a seasonal industry, and Q1 and Q4 are our strong quarters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason.
And do we do bill discounting as well, sir?
No, we don't do any bill discounting.
Perfect. That's helpful. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from IDFC. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, if you can just highlight what finally Sidwal kind of closed the year at, because I think earlier during the call we had discussed about 9 months number. So if you can just share FY19, and I also missed your number on Iljin revenues and the PAT margin for the year.
So on Sidwal, they have closed the whole year at 180 crores, close to 180 crores. Though the accounts are yet being closed for FY19. Moving forward, we have a strong order book of close to 200 crores in that company, and that company is participating in coming up new tenders of metros and railways of Train 18, which was launched recently. So order book is very robust, and we look forward. And EBITDA, on the EBITDA side, that company almost 35 to 38 crore EBITDA last year,
mm-hmm.
In the range of that, which is a very healthy EBITDA of close to about 19-20% range. And I think moving forward, it company is having a strong growth and new order book is lining up. On Elgin, I think the PAT margin stood at about 1.7%.
And the revenue, so sorry, I missed the revenue of Elgin when you, in your opening.
Elgin revenue was 335 crores.
Okay. So in Elgin ever, if you can just elaborate, what are the kind of new customer additions, how are we seeing the growth going forward, and when do we expect to consolidate, complete acquisition of ever?
So when we bought these companies, they had only two customers, LG and IFB. And we started immediately after we stepped in, we started introducing them to our customer set of customers for horizontal deployment of these products. And successfully, we've been able to add four customers in Q4 in Elgin, which has just recently started because the reliability cycle of inverter PCB board is quite high because the whole product's performance is dependent on the functionality of this inverter PCB board. And hence, the customers are taking time to approve it on the final cycle. But four customers have already approved, and mass production have already started for these customers. And moving forward, we expect more than 100 crore plus revenue from all these four customers in Elgin and Ever. On Ever side, we've received the RBI approval, and we'll be shortly closing our remaining 51% stake within a week or 10 days' time.
Okay, so when you're seeing consolidation in FY19, that's largely just about 15-20%.
No, consolidation will happen on 70% on the whole basis because the management control and the board control is from day one with Ember.
Sure. So now, just on the, obviously 1Q has started off fairly well for us. And you spoke about that, we've expanded our IDU range, and which has helped garner some higher market share in 4Q. So if you can, just talk about how IDU versus ODU margins are, working capital, how is it different? And, so on that, and overall FY20 outlook in terms of growth.
Actually, Bhumika, we are now catering lot of SKUs in IDU, starting from 1 ton, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star range, and then expanded to 1.5 ton and to 2 ton, and also in the inverter category range. So it will be very difficult for us to tell you SKU-wise margin, but on a broad basis, if I see that, indoor margins are now expanding towards positivity, more on the north side, because the volumes are increasing. And sure. When we started the indoors 4 years, 5 years back, our volumes were hardly 2 lakh units. But this year, we've already touched 1 million units. So that's positive going forward.
Okay. And on the, volume and guidance for FY20?
Volume guidance, what we want to say on the volume guidance is that we will again outnumber the industry by 4-5%. As it is a seasonal industry, last Q1 we saw unseasonal rains, so we don't know about Q4, but as going forward, whatever industry does, I think we will outnumber industry by 4-5%.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you very much. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats for a good set of numbers. My first question is on working capital. You did explain on the fact that, Feb and March was quite lumpy and large. But your commentary that some of the companies that you've added or the clients that you have added have a 60 to 90 day term. Does this in any way increase your overall, debtors day, which used to be around 50-55 days, to any higher number, and how do you factor that in your, do you have a higher margin profile for these companies? How do you factor that?
So, Abhineet, basically on the debtor days, we are in the same range of 55 to 56 days on the quarterly basis. It doesn't add to much larger numbers, but because this is a seasonal lump, so balance sheet is made on 31st March, and that's the reason why it looks like that. But yes, on an overall basis, I think new customers keep on getting added, and now also we have just recently added Toshiba in Q3. So and we are expecting two more customers to be added in Q2 and Q3. So this will continue, and they are all coming in the credit days of 60 to 90 days.
Okay. And just want to understand what has been the capex at the for the full company, and what is the guidance for F20 for the capex?
Yeah. So on the capex, we have done 103 crore capex in FY19. Almost 30 crore capex has been the maintenance capex for all the 12 plants we have. Close to 20 crore we have done R&D, and almost 20 crore has gone into building a new building in Jhajjar, where we've expanded our footprints in the Jhajjar area for giving solutions to our customers. So we had added a new building, and 30 crore has gone into the capacity expansion and plant and machinery. So that's how the whole 103 crore has panned out. On FY20 guidance, we will remain, maintenance capex will be the same, around 25 to 30 crore range. And we don't want to slow down our R&D initiatives. So we will continue our R&D endeavor by bringing in more models. And we believe that we will be doing about 18 to 22, 23 crore range in R&D. And apart from that, Amber existing plant doesn't need more capex this year. However, we are board has decided to bring up a new plant in Tirupati, in the southern India, because customer cluster is moving that side. And we have been asked by one of our customers to be ready before next year summer comes, the coming season. So we will be doing a capex there. We are in the process of buying land, and we expect about 40 to 45 crore capex in the land as well as partially building. Remaining capex in that plant will happen next financial year, because we have to be ready by September next year. So this is so you can see the range of FY20 capex should be in the range of 110 crores.
And if I go by your commentary, that again 21 also would be probably in the same range, right?
It depends on what capacities we'll be putting up in Tirupati. So largely, you can say, because maintenance capex and R&D, if we continue in the same range, then yes, it should be in the same range.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chera from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. On the ROC side now, since we are putting up capex at Tirupati, but the old asset now, is there a scope for ROC improvement? And today what we are recording at about 14-15%, is there a scope, and where it will come from, whether it is margins or whether it is working capital or whether it is further asset turns?
Actually, if you see, the adjusted ROC, the final capex which we have put will be, giving us results in this year. And if I take out that part of the capex we have done recently, our ROC is at about 16.6%. And as moving forward, yes, because order book is very, very strong, and, Tirupati will give us more customers as well as geographical presence. We are looking forward for adding our RLCs every year moving forward, because of the complete, profitability is also increasing, as well as the free cash availability will be there.
So it will come from better margin, or it will come from better asset turns?
It will come from both, actually.
Okay. And my second question is, see, being a seasonal business, your year-end balance sheet looks really different. So just wanted to know what would be the, mid-year debt that one would see in your balance sheet, and how your mid-year balance sheet would look different from the year-end balance sheet. How lower the mid-year balance sheet becomes?
Well, it depends on how the season or off-season goes. Sometimes you have seen that order book in off-season also is stronger if the pipeline in the inventory cycle at the retail side is not there. So it's very difficult to say what kind of this will be there, because it's completely dependent on the, you know, cycle of business at different. When GST was launched, the, you know, the whole quarter was disrupted. When demonetization was there, things were different. And we have seen in past, you know, when there have been a great summers, you know, sometimes like this year, I'm anticipating a good off-season also. So because none of the brands are carrying large inventories with them. And as the geographical presence, southern and western coastal regions are almost yearly round businesses. So it will come, the depth of the seasonality curve is reducing. So it's difficult to say actually exactly that what would look like, yes, but different. You should look, I think the better part of looking into the balance sheet will be in the quarterly numbers as we are going forward.
Okay. Lastly, sir, you gave out the volume growth guidance for ACs. If you could give out some guidance on the components business in some total, you know, when you consolidate the balance part, and you talked about customer addition in, you know, some of the Elgin area. So, sum total, what will your components business grow in FY20?
So, as we have already graduated from 28 to 37%, our long-term, actually, you know, endeavor is to bring it to 50-50 in next 4 to 5 years' time. But yes, 37% last year will definitely grow to some portion, maybe about 40% this year.
Okay, so it will grow faster, so components will grow higher than the 25% volume guidance that you think for the ACs?
Yes, I mean, it depends on, you know, sometimes happens that companies want us to use those components captively and give them a solution in air conditioners. So then things will change, but largely on the component production side, yes, it'll be increasing much larger.
Okay. Thank you and all the best to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, when we look at these standalone numbers and assuming that all of this is an AC sales, not much component in the standalone part, your realization still is very weak on such large volumes, and assuming the new clients would have come. And I'm assuming those clients would have also come because their OEMs like Zamil and Lille has gone bankrupt. Despite that, we don't see any pricing power as such. And even on the EBITDA per unit, you've grown by 5% on such high volumes. If you can throw some light, that would be helpful.
See, largely, the volumes have been driven by indoor units. And indoors, as I told that it was having, the volumes were less. And we couldn't get more operating leverage. And this year, volumes have come up and they are further growing at a good speed of 20-25%. So you will see margin expansion in the indoor unit also. And also, you know, largely when last year the season was down, Q1, industry was having a lot of inventory. So the price increase which we were supposed to get by Q2, Q3, we got in Q4. And that's what has, you know, given. So we in case we were able to get that when the trade is having inventories, you know, you get a price increase with a lag impact. And that's what happened. So by Q3, the inventories were liquidated, and Q4, we were able to get price increase from all the customers. And that's the reason why it is looking this.
Okay. And just one more thing, you said in Q1 you're growing at 20-25%, right?
25-30%.
25-30% on a declining base of 4% in the Q1 last. Got it. And sir, if it's possible to share the quarterly number of PICL, revenue, EBITDA and PAT?
Okay. I have a yearly number right now. I think yearly number we have done. Total turnover of 137 crores and with an EBITDA of 5.4%, close to about 7.39 crores.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshuman Dame from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted that... the amount that we paid for Sidwell, could you tell me once more what's the consideration that we paid for Sidwell and how will it be accounted going ahead in the balance sheet?
Yeah, so we have paid in total the consideration for 80% stake was 202 crores, out of which Amber has paid 145.5%, and 146.5 crores, and remaining almost 55 crore debt has been taken on Sidwell books as it was a debt-free and cash-free company.
Okay. And so what is the net debt as of now consolidated level for Amber?
For Amber?
Yes.
Standalone is 120 crores and on consolidated level on 31st March, it's about, total is about 206 crores.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, sir.
Mr. Deep, do you have any follow-up questions?
No, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Napani from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, for a great set of numbers.
Thank
you. Sir, as we have guided that June quarter sales volume guidance of 25 to 30% growth and outperforming the industry by 4 to 5%. So do we see that the industry is going to grow at more than 20 to 25% in the June quarter?
Yes, so I think we've been talking to all the brands and every brand is bullish. So every brand is, we are seeing good numbers. So I think industry should end up growing 15 to 20% in this quarter.
Okay. And sir, can you please help me out with ever revenue for FY19? Ever revenue, EBITDA margin and PAT margin.
So ever revenue was 272 crores as compared to 224 crore last year. And EBITDA margins in ever
consolidated is 137.
Yeah, so consolidated in the books is 137 crore because we bought this company in H2. So
okay.
Half of it has been consolidated in our books. And on total basis, we can tell you that at 272 crores, the EBITDA margin stands at close to 2.5%, sorry, at 6.7 crores.
Okay. And PAT margin?
PAT margin is 1%.
And so what was the EBITDA margin for Elgin in FY19?
EBITDA margin for Elgin was 5%. Last year, FY18, it was only 3.2%.
Okay.
So we did a lot of, after we took over, we bought a lot of productivity improvements and innovations there. And also the new customers which are adding at higher margins. But these all customers got added in just Q4. So we will be expect about 50 to 100 bips further increase in Elgin in this year, FY20.
Okay. Sir, one last question is that we have observed that there is a big gap in net profit margin of standalone and the subsidiaries. So standalone net profit margin is close to around 3.2%, whereas subsidiaries is 0.2% in FY19. So can you guide us whether this difference can be bridged in a material manner over the next 2 to 3 years? And if yes, how we are planning to bridge this gap?
So yes, as you know, as I told you that Elgin and Ever was just assembling PCBs earlier. So now we have successfully added R&D component in that and we have been able to deliver solutions and the customers which are being added are at a higher margins. So you will definitely see margin grow expansion in Elgin and Ever both. And also PICL, we are now bringing in a disruptive motors called BLDC, brushless DC motors, which last year we launched resin core motors and that has successfully started. Unfortunately for PICL, the exports didn't pick up for the Middle East market. It is still subdued and that's the reason why it couldn't deliver well. But now the domestic composition of PICL offering is about 85% and the exports is only 15%, which earlier used to be 55% 2 years back. So that's the reason PICL will also expand now in the coming year.
Okay, so like how much improvement we can look at in FY20 or FY21?
It will be difficult to state a number here because it all depends on product mix and, you know, component mix plus the customers and the cycle. So we would not be able to comment on what number you should look at, but yes, definitely the management is endeavoring to improvement on all the sites, in all the subsidiaries as well.
Okay, sir. All the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Mehta from SPA Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, with regards to, at the time of IPO, we had shared outsourcing industry, our market share was about 55%, and outsourcing industry itself, like, you know, was about 34% of total. So where does the number stand today? Can you share it?
We don't have a research report on the exact number right now. We need to run through it. But yes, I think outsourcing as a concept, because if you see, the online market space has grown from 3% to 10% now in our country for AC industry. 2 years back when we had done IPO, it was just 3-3.5%. Now it is 10%. And online is largely outsourced. And remaining all brands are outsourcing now. So except barring one or two. So I think outsourcing component would have definitely increased. My gut feel is that it should be around 38% or 39% now.
Yeah, so it's on the up kind of.
Yeah.
One more question is on debt level. If I look at, like, you know, gross debt or even net debt, I think you shared about 205 crores, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so if we look at this year again, like, you know, we'll be adding in terms of Sidwal equation because that has not happened last year. It is this year, right?
Yes.
So where do you see debt level, say, at the end of FY20?
FY20, you know, our debt level should be somewhere about 350 to 375 range.
Gross debt you are talking about?
Gross debt on consolidated basis.
Okay, so this should lead to, I think, like in terms of interest cost inching up, right?
Yes, interest cost will definitely inch up, but then, you know, we will add up about 45 crore EBITDA of Sidwal also in the, you know, consolidated levels.
Sure. And one last question, if I can squeeze in, is about each, despite, like, you know, if I look at PAT increase of about at console level about 50%, this year also there is no dividend declaration. So any thought process behind it?
Actually, you know, we didn't declare a dividend because our Tirupati expansion was declared and we didn't want to go borrow debt. But now this year going forward, we will have a free cash flow. So definitely you will see a dividend this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of K.O. Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And congratulations on good numbers. Sir, my question is on this working capital. So whatever inch of what we have seen as on 31st March, should that go back to normal levels going forward? And in that context, so can working capital or Sidwal acquisition or new expansion, this will lead to our debt level going up. So 370 crore will be a peak for us or there will be further increase going ahead?
No, we don't see large debt going further. I mean, 370 should be the peak for us. And on the working capital cycle, as, you know, on the quarterly basis, we will remain in that 37 days time. And we are trying, what, you know, there was a shortfall that, you know, inverter PCB boards which were being imported because the industry has graduated to 70% inverter ACs now. And there was large imported component in inverter ACs which came at a lower credit cycle. So our team is renegotiating those terms with the supplier. So you will see some betterment on the creditor days, you know, going forward and inventories also. So you will see a positivity of that, and on a quarterly basis, it should remain that range of 37-38 range.
Okay. So just one bookkeeping question. So the finance cost, the line item finance cost, what would be a bifurcation between actual interest cost and other finance charges because it doesn't add up with your debt level?
The actual finance cost and breakup in the other finance costs like LC charges. So out of that 14.5 crore, around 2 to 2.5 crore is the other charges. Balance is the pure interest cost.
For full FY19?
Yes.
Okay. At the console level, sir, what would be? So 25 crore of finance cost.
So out of the total, around 3.5 is the other charges like LC commission, etc. Balance is the pure finance cost.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And sir, last question. When we see our standalone results, quarterly numbers, so for the entire H2, our employee cost was stagnant. And even for the entire year, it is more or less similar level. So how should we read this?
Almost stagnant.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's a lot of operating leverage which comes when your order book is strong. So our cost doesn't go up on the employee side. There will be only a variable cost which will go up on the contractual labor part.
And similar trend would continue?
Sorry? Yeah, similar trend will continue.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Babare from Access Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question and congrats to the management on good set of numbers. Sir, first question, the component business seems to be a drag on the overall margins of overall consolidated entity. So what are the steps we are taking to improve this? And second question is, currently we are having around 60% of capacity utilization and we would be coming up with a new capacity at Tirupati. So can you please help with the contours of the new capacity?
So on the capacity utilization, we've already done by about 55% jump in April, and we've seen similar trend in May also this year. So capacity utilization definitely went up to close to about 75 to 80%, and that's the reason why we've put in about 25 to 30 more crores in expanding our capacity base. As far as Tirupati goes, but we will not need a further capacity expansion in North India part. On Tirupati, we will be putting up close to about 500,000 number of capacity initially for both indoor and outdoor. We are not planning to put in window air conditioners there. And that will be the capacity which we'll be adding in next year. And going forward, as the customer base increase, and the demand on the southern markets improve, we will keep on adding. But the added capacity will not come at a large cost. That's only the lines which we will need to add, because the sub shops of heat exchangers and paint shop, powder coating shops and press shops and other things will be having a larger capacity initially also. And what was your other question? Can you please repeat the first question you wanted to ask about the, I think,
drag,
about the region and ever.
Component business is a drag on overall margins. So
yes, on the component side, when we bought these companies, this company had EBITDA margin of, Ilgin had EBITDA margin of 3.2%, and Ever had EBITDA margin of only 2%. So they were just assembly markets, but the reason why we bought these companies were, they are the largest inverter PCB board manufacturer today in the country for refrigerator, washing machine, air conditioners and all. As air conditioning industry was graduating towards inverter ACs, we thought that this is a good component to add as a backward integration. So we were able to expand the margin from 3.2% to 5% in region this year. And moving forward also, we are looking forward to add at least 50 to 100 bips further increase in region, because the reason is that the new customers which are coming will be at a greater margins. And also we have done a lot of purchase leverage due to Amber's capability of purchase and also productivity improvements.
Okay, and are we going to restrict ourselves in this component business to just white goods, or we would be open for electronics and automobile-related sectors?
We are doing very small business in automobile sector, which they are catering as a tier 2 supplier. And in Ember also, we have a small portion of automobile business in the sheet metal fabrication for Isuzu, SML, Mazda, for John Deere and for Mahindra tractors. But yes, I mean, that component business is growing, but it is about loading the plants. As far as the loading happens from automobile or electronics or healthcare sector, it doesn't matter to us. But largely in the electronic companies, Ilgin and Ever, the growth will come from the electronic and the home appliances sector only, as of now.
And sir, finally, currently we are having 35 million, capacity of 35 million. So with this Tirupati plant, we will be moving up to 240 million, right?
Actually,
sorry, 4 million.
If you see on an annual basis, we have a capacity of 4.8 million because in April itself, we have done 4,14,000 units. So on annual basis, but that's not how we normally see from a seasonality point of view. So that's the right way to see our industry. On seasonality point of view, I think, yes, the numbers, what you are talking is almost similar.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Nigam from Catamaran. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for taking my question. Sir, I have one question. On the technology of the AC industry, over the next 4 to 5 years, what are the new technologies that you are expecting based on your R&D and interaction with the industry? And what is the impact that you are expecting of these technology on the pricing? I am coming from the fact that this happened in TV industry and mobile industry, wherein the new technology disruption led to significant price erosion. So what's your view on the new technologies and how it will have impact on the pricing?
So there's not, AC industry is not susceptible to a large technology obsolescence kind of like TV and mobiles, but there has been technology upgrades in air conditioning industry, like earlier multi-flow condenser was launched for better energy efficiency and lesser use of refrigerants and lighter weight. And then now inverter PCB board is more dominant. Inverter PCB board started about 4 and a half years back, and now it has taken about 70% of the market share, where it consumes less power. And going forward, a lot of IoT-based and AI-based models will come. And as the Bureau of Energy Efficiency is revising the table next year, so you would see, technology upgradation in terms of energy consumption goes. And also, moving forward 4 or 5 years down the line, you can expect inverters, home series of inverters, very which are smaller inverters, VRV models coming up in the room air conditioning sector also.
Okay, okay. And all these technology, will they lead to any significant price reduction, or will it be like incrementally price improvement going forward?
No, there will be no price reduction on this side because. Like inverter ACs came, so there was a bill of material addition of inverter PCB board in the AC, which in fact increased the price. And if you want to have a features of AI-based or IoT-based, that will only increase the price. We don't foresee any price reduction or maybe disruption as it happened in TV or mobiles.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Sharma from HDFC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning and congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Good morning. Thank you.
So in one of your remarks, you said that there have been price hikes which have been taken during Q3 and even in Q4. So has this been across the board, and what was the quantum? Because our feedback was that given the inventory in the channel, the price hikes have been either not there or very limited.
No, see, we are in the manufacturing space and we give solutions to customers. And our costing to customers is on a price variation clause, any kind of commodity or currency is passed on with a quarter lag. But last year what happened was because there was inventory in the system, so our quarter got further extended. And finally, we got a price increase in Q4, beginning of Q4. And it was to a tune of almost about 2.9 to 3%, and it was across the board. I mean, every customer did it.
Okay. That's helpful. So, second question was on the balance sheet debtor days, right? And I guess what you said was that there's been a lot of bidding in the end of the quarter, given the seasonal nature of the business, which is why we've seen this higher debtor days. But that's always the case, right? I mean, even if I look at Q4 last year or Q4 of any of the years, typically, Q4 and Q1 will be heavy in that sense. So why do you think your debtor days should come down, say, as of FY20 and Q4? Shouldn't it be on the higher side given the seasonal nature of the business?
You see, customer, it depends on customers. We have got customers who pay us in 30 days, 45 days,
mm-hmm.
and we have customers in range of 60 and also 90 days terms. So it all depends on the sales going forward from those numbers. Like last year, what happened was the customers which had a, you know, lower payment terms, you know, we got more orders from them, and that's the reason why it looked down. But it totally depends on that. So we feel that we are not going to extend more credit days. You know, this is a maximum what we have done, and we are trying to bring down the credit days with the customers with, you know, going forward. And that's the reason why we think that, you know, we can bring it down on. But on the quarterly side, I think it will be in the same range what it is going on right now.
Got that. Okay.
About 37 days or close to that.
Sorry, you said 37, 40 days, is it?
Yeah, 37, 40. I'm talking about the net working capital days.
The net working, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is not higher. Okay. And just a last question, sir, on this Bidwell group, what would be the margins that you expect to make going into 20 on the EBITDA level?
Bidwell is a company where it's a 19% to 20% EBITDA company, and we think that we'll be able to maintain those margins going forward. Order book is very strong, so we are hoping you should see in the same range.
All right, okay. Thank you so much, Investor.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naval Seth from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on good set of numbers. Again, my question is on working capital. As you said that incremental customer addition is happening on higher credit period terms, while you are trying to cut that down also. But will that also mean that your large customers who are where you are more dependent can also ask for better credit terms, and eventually your working capital cycle will remain where it is right now, or can further increase or deteriorate?
See, if any customer asks for revision of extension of credit days, it is not going to happen, because it doesn't happen that way. When you start an association, you negotiate on that basis only. You don't change the creditors in between. And if any customer comes up, I mean, we haven't seen any customer coming up like that, but if any customer comes up, there is a cost added to it. You know, so if, you know, it depends on what kind of request is from the customer, but largely we have never received any change of credit terms, days, with any customer as of now, and even in the past also.
So in ballpark terms, as you said, that there will be additional cost attached to that, so that means better realizations for you. So what would be the realization difference?
If that happens.
Yeah.
Whatever that happens.
Yeah. But if I take, you know, the current example where you have added so many new customers, so what would be realization difference between them and the older ones? A range percentage term will also do over here.
Yeah, it totally, actually, you know, there's so many factors involved. First is the product which we are talking of, then it is volumes what we are talking of, you know. And, of course, if somebody is sitting at a lower volume and you demanding 60 days credit terms, he will not get the same kind of pricing as compared to 30 days and more volumes, you know. So it has to come from the system, complete pricing has to be made accordingly only. So our rationalization, it totally depends. I mean, you know, on the volumes, on the product which we are talking of, and on the terms.
Are they similar on PBT terms? PBT margin would be similar for all these new and old customers then?
No, I think you can expect the better PBT margins from the new customers.
Okay. And secondly, on Sidwell, at the time of acquisition, you had stated that focus will be on reducing working capital days there as well. So as now that is being consolidated, what is your plan for FY20, if you can state how many number of days you are looking at in terms of reducing that?
So Sidwell, when we took over on 2nd May, it stood at 180 days of net working capital days. And what we have analyzed in this month itself is that they were paying everything in advance. And we have started renegotiating with all the suppliers to take the credit days to 30 or 60. And that started happening. So almost 5 suppliers have already agreed, and other one are still in negotiating phase. So there will be difference. Yes, of course, on the inventory side also, our team has started the work, and you will see that after a year there will be incremental jump in terms of net working capital. It will reduce.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Smart Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to know what would have been our growth rate during the quarter, excluding the new customers added. I mean, roughly, what would have that 40% growth looked like, excluding the new customer addition?
Excluding the new customer addition, it will look like around 15 to 18%, please.
15 to 18%. And the terms of trade with players like Flipkart and Amazon, is it better compared to, say, existing customers, given the fact that existing customers, they have been, they know the trade much better than Flipkart and Amazon. So do we have better pricing and do we have better terms of trade with them, or how is it? Hello.
Participants, the line for the management got disconnected. Please stay connected while we join them back. A request to all the participants, please stay connected. We have the line for Mr. Singh connected, so go ahead.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah,
Ravi, you were asking question.
Yeah, terms of trade with Flipkart and Amazon specifically, is it a better terms of trade and in terms of margins, working capital, etc.? And can these two entities be a very sizable portion of the industry for a 4 to 5 year period?
See, as the online trade is graduating every year, and Amazon and Flipkart tried with their own brands this year. Flipkart tried with Marque, and Amazon tried it with Amazon Basics, and they got very good response. So coming year, yes, definitely there will be a growth, manifold growth in their volume. But since their volume base is very less, so you will find a good growth numbers from that. So this year they have been talking of smaller numbers of 25 to 30,000. But next year, of course, you can see, and they came in only Q4. So next year, all online, even Chroma is also planning. So all online people are planning for a bigger number. And industry is graduating towards that. As far as the margin goes, because the volumes are less, and for us, it is a better realization.
Got it, sir. And one question on bookkeeping question, that quarterly numbers of ODU, IDU, and window, if you can give.
For the Q4 number?
Yeah, Q4, sir. You had mentioned annual numbers, I guess, but if you can give the quarterly numbers also.
I am not having that in handy right now in Q4 numbers, but annually I told you that it's about 3.5 lakhs is window, and the remainings are 373 is actually window, and 1 million is about IDUs, and almost 7.1 lakhs is ODUs.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhairya Dhruv from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Manojya from Equirus. Sir, just wanted to understand on the silver front. So, sorry if I missed out, but when are we consolidating the operations into our performance?
So, from June onwards itself, we will consolidate their operations. We've already taken majority share, and May 2nd is when we acquired and closed the transaction.
So post that, in the very first quarter, you will find a consolidated number.
Okay, so it would be by June end.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, you also mentioned on the debt part. So what would be the total debt that we would be availing for Sidwal?
For Sidwal?
Yeah.
So Sidwal has now a debt of about, yeah, I mean, you want to ask what kind of a debt is on Sidwal right now, or?
No. What kind of debt we would be raising?
We would be raising on Sidwal. No, we have.
Yeah.
We have not. We would not be raising any further debt on Sidwal as goes. I mean, operations are cash positive operations.
Okay, whatever. So sorry, I was not able to convey my question properly. But I'm just asking, like, the total debt that Amber would be raising to buy Sidwal.
So see, the transaction is funded partially through internal accruals and partially through debt. So it's majorly through internal accruals, and very less debt is being taken. So as of now, Sidwal is having about 55 crore of debt.
Okay. So that's all, sir. Thanks a lot. Wish you all the best.
All right. Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will have to close the call. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you, everyone, for joining us. I hope we have been able to answer all your queries. In case you require any further details, you may please contact us or our Investor Relations Advisors, Strategic Growth Advisors, SGA. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you.